Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 380, the stanzas 1 and 3. By Babel's riverside we sat in tears, remembering Zion's pride in former years, while on the weeping willows there were hung the harps of grief, and silenced and unstrung. And what follows, Psalter 380, the stanzas 1 and 3. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Isaiah 42, the verses 1 through 16. First, we will read the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Isaiah 42, the first 16 verses. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, and neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles, and the inhabitants thereof, let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar doth inhabit, let the inhabitants of the rock sing, let them shout from the top of the mountains, let them give glory unto the Lord, and declare his praise in the islands. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. I have long time holden my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. And now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. I will make waste mountains and hills and dry up their herbs. And I will make the rivers islands, and I will dry up the pools. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. Thus far the scripture reading. We hope to remember in prayer Mrs. Rhea Vanderbrink, who was admitted to the hospital on Friday and is awaiting for gallstone surgery. Let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, thou hast granted unto us and our children another Lord's Day, then we may acknowledge and thank thee that thou wast watched over the whole congregation, and the week that has swiftly run its course. Thou wast not taken one away by the cold hand of death. The virus continues to spread over the earth. We remember all the sick, all those in the hospital, and what maketh us and our children to differ. And then thy hand is heavy upon our country. It is heavy upon thy church. May we be given to feel it. And may we be given to mightily cry unto thee. Tis evident on this day, where a smaller part of the congregation may still come up to thy house, be in the sanctuary, in the basement, at the greatest part is called upon to listen along in their homes. And then the prophet of old has declared that thou wert waiting to be gracious unto thy church, that under thy afflicting hand, that there may be prayer, that there may be a turning, that there may be a repentance, that there may be conversions, O Lord. Under thy afflicting hand, leave us and our children not cold, not unmoved, and not untouched. It is the greatest judgment that can come upon a people when thou sendest afflictions and trials, that there is no repentance, that we come not closer to thy holy word, but that we can still continue on the same way, O Lord. Leave and forsake us not. Take not the candlestick of thy holy word from amongst us and our children, but may it be granted by the light of thy Holy Spirit through the meritorial work of thy dear Son, that candlestick, that it may burn brighter and brighter, that new candles may be born in Zion, that may be the light upon the earth, and where thou hast begun that good work, that thou may grant those further leadings. Then we read in thy holy word of a psalmist, that he was given to declare, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord, Lord, and may that be granted unto us and our children, and may such a people also be present on this holy day of rest, out of the depth of their sin, of their guilt, because, Lord, we are sinners by nature, sinners by practice, necessary that it becomes reality, and that we are given to cry unto thee out of the depth of that separation, with those longings and with those desires to be restored into that communion. Oh, to be given to cry out the depth of our needs. And our needs are great. The temporal needs are manifold. The needs for our never-dying soul, they are the greatest. And we are hastening toward the end of another year. It is the third last Sabbath day. Wilt thou impress it all upon our mind? Oh, may we be given to cry unto thee. Out of the depth of impossibilities, there can be the riddles, the perplexities, and the life of thy people, but also out of the depth of that love, which thou sheddest abroad in the life of thy children. Lord, thou hast a people upon the earth that learns more and more that it is all of grace. Without thee, they can do nothing. And when they walk in darkness, then they must ascribe it all to self, that it is all their own fault. Lord, may there be a true Advent people in our midst. By the first time and by renewal we have heard out of thy holy word those smoking flaxes, those broken reeds. There may be a soul in this day where it seems that everything is coming to an end. What they thought that was of thee, that they are afraid, that it was all of self. And yet souls that out of the depth of their great need, that godly sorrow, that vehement desire, that they may be given to cry unto thee, O souls that have learned that they can never bring forth that righteousness that is pleasing to thee, their best works, their religious duties. It is all pollution in thy sight, and yet a people that cannot miss thee, O Lord, may it then please thee to bring souls to that manger of Bethlehem, and to be given to behold the Christ child, whose name has been called Jesus, because he has come to save his people from their sins. Well, to grant us further Advent exercises, that it may be given, oh, it is thy work by thy Spirit, to make room in the heart of thy people for a new benefit and a new blessing. Wilt thou do it in this season, and that there may be a poor and a needy people, that by renewal may be given to behold the Christ child, and to be given to behold and experience something new. Lord, do it for thy honor and for thy glory. The world may still stand, and it is for thy church. To that end, bless thy holy word in this morning hour to the hearts of young and old. Remember thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth, wherever it may gather. May there be a rich and a large ingathering, that many jewels may be added to the meritorial crown of King Jesus. May the earth be filled with thy knowledge, O Lord. There are so many places where the light has shone so brightly in former days, and where the candlestick has been removed. We remember the many outward needs. Remember the mother that was admitted to the hospital, and where she is awaiting for surgery. Ah, wilt thou remember and be mindful of her? May the surgeon be blessed for the welfare of her body. And then thou wert speaking to her in a special way, my daughter, give me thy heart. Lord, thou knowest that by nature, that we are not able, that we are not willing, and then it is necessary, that by thy grace, by thy Spirit, that thou takes possession of our heart, and then we shall willingly give it unto thee and be given to ask for thy ways, and as a poor sinner to be asked whether there is yet a way, or whether we can be saved, O Lord, that the affliction may be used to that end, then it would be good, and then it would be to thy glory. Wilt thou remember her together with her husband and the family circle? Remember all under the physician's care, those that are taking treatments. May they be blessed. Wilt thou uphold them? Wilt thou remember the many crosses, the many burdens? We remember all the mourning ones, O Lord. Do continue to remember and uphold them. And when in the immediate family circles there is not one empty place, may we be given to pause and consider thy patient long suffering and what maketh us to differ. We remember all the elderly ones, different places, the care home. Remember those that may lovingly care for them. Remember those bound to their home, those that may still go in and out. The infirmity shall only increase. The tabernacle of the body shall be broken down. And to that end, above all things, oh, do save their never dying souls. Wilt thou yet do a great work also among the elderly of the congregation, that thy name may be glorified, and that others may receive courage. Remember prodigal sons, remember prodigal daughters. Lord, we now humbly ask thee for thy help. May our eyes be upon thee. May we be administered out of thy fullness. And may it please thee to anoint with fresh oil from above. And may thy word go forth with power divine. Wilt thou remember all the listeners? Wilt thou go from bench to bench, from chair to chair, and from dwelling to dwelling? Go from heart to heart. Wilt thou perform wonders in this morning hour? The prophet of old has declared, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Lord, we have nothing to plead upon. We weary thy patience. We abuse thy goodness. We transgress thy law, guilty of all the commandments. But, Lord, thou hast said in thy word to the house of Israel, I do it not for your sake, but I do it for my great name's sake. May that take place under thy judgments. Forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 243, the stanzas 1 through 4. In vision to his saints God spake, from out the people one I take, a mighty leader, true and brave, ordained, exalted, strong to save. And what follows? The extra collection today is for the Bethesda Building Fund. Psalter 243, the first four stanzas. Thank you. And this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, then we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Isaiah 42, the verses 1 and 2, where God's word and our text reads thus, Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. Our text words speak of Isaiah's prophecy of the servant of the Father, with five thoughts in the first place, the upheld servant. In the second place, the delighted in servant. In the third place, the anointed servant. In the fourth place, the teaching servant. And in the fifth place, the humble servant. Isaiah's prophecy of the servant of the Father, the upheld servant, the delighted in servant, the anointed servant, the teaching servant, and the humble servant. Beloved congregation, our text words in this morning have been taken out of the prophet Isaiah, many times called the evangelist of the Old Testament. It is true, the other prophets, the psalmists, they have spoken of the Lord Jesus Christ who would come, but in a very special way, in a very rich way. The prophet Isaiah, by the enlightening of the Holy Spirit, was given to speak of wonderful things of the servant, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the state of his humiliation and in the state of his exaltation. Then we can divide the book of Isaiah into two parts. The first 39 chapters, when the Assyrians were the world power, things that have transpired also concerning in the life of the prophet Isaiah. And then chapter 39 ends, where Hezekiah has shown all his goods to those messengers from Babylon, and he has not mentioned the Lord and the Lord the builder of the temple. And then the prophet Isaiah has come with a message that it would all be carried away into Babylon. And now the chapters 40 through 66, then the prophet is given to speak concerning the time when the Babylonians, when they would become the world power, when the children of Judah would be carried into captivity, that they would sit by the rivers of Babel, as we have sung together, O young and old, under the circumstances, where the Lord is speaking to the earth, where the Lord is speaking to us and our children. Have we now come to that place, or can we just continue on our ordinary lives? Or has there come that sitting Remember the former years, oh, we have sung it, the former pride, and not acknowledging the Lord for His mercies. And may the Lord grant it by His Spirit, also by His common goodness, that sorrow may be felt, and that it may be experienced. And now the Lord in His tender mercies, then He was so good for that people, that before the judgments would come, then He would speak of comforting matters concerning the children of Israel, that the Lord would never forsake the work of His own hands. And now in this chapter, oh, it is part of what chapter 40 begins with, comfort, comfort ye my people, saith your God, and speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and say unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, and that she has received double for her sins. Then in this chapter, oh, then the prophet in the name of the Lord, by the anointing of the Spirit, by the inspiration of the Spirit, then he is given to speak of that comfort. And then our text begins with, behold, that is the exclamation mark in the Scripture, that we are called upon to pay attention. That also means that we must look. Oh, that people, they would become so discouraged. It would seem so hopeless in Babylon. They would have their heads bowed down. Oh, in verse 3 we have heard it of those broken reeds. And that is that woman in Luke 13, oh, for 18 years. And then it is written that in no wise could she straighten herself out. And now for such a people, for whom it can no more, a word has become so impossible. Oh, then what a precious message that the prophet Isaiah is given to bring in the name of the Lord. Oh, then the prophet is given to call to that troubled people that are bowed down, that are in captivity, and it seems they shall never come out. Are there still souls in my midst that are in captivity, oh, burdened with your sin, because that people in Babylon, they had to confess that it was all their own sin. It was their guilt. And yet the Lord had a remnant in that faraway Babylon, with all the riddles, the perplexities, the impossibilities, that they could not leave the Lord on His place. Oh, that out of the depths that they were given to cry unto the Lord. And now for that people, ah, the Lord, oh, it is true, the text comes to all of us, that we are called to pay attention, that we are called to look. Ah, what do we need, boys and girls? Then we need light. Then we need the work of the Holy Spirit, that we may see. And then the prophet is given to say, behold, my servant. And now we must first consider, who does the prophet now mean when he speaks of my servant in the Bible? Many are called servants, the preachers of the gospel, servants of the Most High, then the children of God. Oh, how often in the Bible they call themselves servants and handmaidens. But is that now the meaning in our text? Because our text word does not say servants, but it says servants, then boys and girls, servant, that means one. Thus, who does now the prophet mean when he says to that people in captivity, behold, my servant? Then it is true, Cyrus, whom the Lord has used to deliver was an instrument as a tool. Then he eschews that king of the Medes and the Persians, that the children of Israel, we would say in such an unbelievable way, a way that they never thought possible. But then we read in Ezra 1 verse 2, that Cyrus, King Cyrus, as a servant of the Most High, he had charged me to build him an house. Thus he has given orders to the people in Babylon that he must return. And he has given money to build the temple and for the sacrifices, of the king. And there are wonderful things written in Isaiah 44 verse 28. He is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure. In chapter 45 verse 1, called his anointed at the right hand, I have holden him. And yet, of that King Cyrus it is written, it is true, the Lord has used them as an instrument, that people in that faraway Babylon, that they may return to Jerusalem, that they may rebuild the temple. And yet it is written in Isaiah 45, both the verses 4 and 5, thou hast not known me. Thus then it is clear, and we have a proof, a very clear proof, because the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 12, the verses 17 through 21, then he is given to quote the first four verses of Isaiah 42. And then Jesus was given to speak that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Thus there Christ is clarified, it is true, in the prophecies, also in the prophet Isaiah. Then we find prophecies that refer in the first place to the context, to the children of Judah in captivity. And then many of those prophecies, they speak of further times, the fullness of time, of the Lord Jesus Christ and of the blessings of the New Testament church. But our text in this morning hour, then it is very clear that it can refer to no one but the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore the prophet, with such a liberty and with such a freedom, then he is given to declare to that people, behold, my servant, whom I uphold. That is our first point. An upheld servant. So that implies that the servant in our text, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he had a great work to do. Because otherwise, you can understand it, boys and girls, if you were given a very difficult task, maybe sometime you tell your father and mother, but that is too hard for me, then you need the Lord's help, and then you need strength. And thus it is very clear when it is said, my servant, whom I uphold, that he had a great work to do. But now maybe the question is, but why is Christ now called? Because in our text words, then we find the Trinity so clearly declared in our text words, where the Father is given to say, my servant. Because young people, we have learned that in the Trinity, co-essential and co-eternal. And now in our text, then it is written that the Father declares that the second person in the divine Trinity, and that he has become the servant of the Father. And that speaks of his human nature. And that speaks of the great work that he was given to do. Oh, when he has come upon this earth, and then he has come in the form of a servant, as we read in different places of the scripture. Oh, then we see in our first point already, oh, my servant, the love and the willingness of the servant of the Father, and that he was willing to even be born in a stable, laid in the manger of the Bethlehem. But my servant whom I uphold, oh, what a great work he had to do, because what has now taken place, oh, there were the sons and daughters of Adam that have ruined everything, that have given their right hand to the Satan, that are so lost in their deep fall and no desire to be saved. Oh, there were those servants of the devil, much worse than that captivity in Babylon, and even worse, and no desire to be delivered, that by nature, that man, that he seeks his life in Babylon, not asking for the Lord and for his righteousness, that we seek our own way. Oh, they were servants with a heavenly high debt that no one could pay. But now that servant, what a great task was laid upon his shoulder. Oh, then he had to come, and then he had to satisfy righteousness. He had to obey the law. He had to conquer those rebels and those traitors that would never ask for the Lord. Oh, my servant, whom I uphold, oh, what a great work it was to pay that debt, because the sons and daughters of Adam, they have come under the sentence of a threefold death. The day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. O my servant, whom I uphold, to that end he has become the servant, a lowly, a humble servant. He has suffered, he has died, he has finished the work which the Father has given him to do. O my servant, whom I uphold, and through that precious mediatorial work of Christ Jesus, through that upholden servant, and then the servant of the Father, in the state of his exaltation, he is given to uphold his church. How is it, people of God, with that upholding? Are we a needy, a poor people, a people that are crying out of the depths? Oh, what a lessons the Spirit has to teach many times, brought to our end when we cannot uphold ourselves anymore. And then the wonder that the Lord does not say, child, do you now come to me? When you have come to your wit's end, now you need me. That the Lord does not say, and how is that possible? Through that servant that is upheld, our second thought, behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth, was a chosen servant, and the counsel of peace. And that servant, he has given himself from the never-begun eternity. My servant, in whom my soul delighteth. When the Lord has created Adam and Eve, the Lord was given to delight in his own work, and especially in the jewel of creation, Adam and Eve, created in his image, knowledge, righteousness and holiness. And Adam and Eve, they were given to live perfectly They were given to rejoice in their God, their Creator and Benefactor. That was their life. That was their delight. Then Adam and Eve, they were a servant and a handmaiden of the Lord. Ah, when the Lord has seen it. Genesis 1, verse 31. When at the end of the sixth day he saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. But it was not so long. As children, you know what our parents have done, and we end them. And now since that time, there has never been, we have heard a few weeks ago, from Genesis 5, that Adam bore a son, not in God's image, but in his own image, born and conceived in sin. And since our deep fallen Adam, then there has never been one born in their natural state. There have been, of course, children. Think of Jeremiah in the Old Testament, sanctified from the womb. Nevertheless, never a perfect servant, never a perfect handmaiden, because even when a child may be sanctified in the womb, still who can bring a clean out of an unclean? Thus, for 4,000 years, there has not been one born upon this earth where the Lord could truly say, in the perfect sense of the word, my servant in whom I delight. Who can bring a clean out of an unclean? But now, after 4,000 years, oh, it is true, when the prophet is given to declare, behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. And then in the Old Testament, oh, then there was spoken of one that would come, in whom the Lord would truly delight, my servant, in whom my soul delighteth. Then the Father has delighted in a son. We read thereof in Proverbs 8, the verses 23, that he was from everlasting. We read in verse 30 that he was delighting in the presence of his Father. Oh, in the counsel of peace, when the Father has said, how shall I place them among the children? How may by renewal they may be restored to become servants and handmaidens? Oh, then my son in whom I delight. And then the son has come forward. A solemn 40, the verses 7 and 8. Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. O, the Father was given to delight in the willingness of a son, that he was willing to come upon this earth that is cursed because of our sins. Oh, how the Father was given to delight in the birth of Emmanuel. Do we not read in Luke 2, the verses 13 and 14, that a great multitude of angels were sent, and that they have sung glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, a goodwill toward men. O my servant, in whom my soul delighteth. Ah, he was such a willing servant. He was the perfect servant. Oh, he has come in the form of a servant. Think, boys and girls, when he was 12 years old, when he went up to the temple with his parents, when he sat with the doctors, speaking about heavenly things, And then when his father and mother have sought him, and they have found him at the end of 3 days, what precious words that were spoken by the servant of the Father. No, he was not as sons and daughters of Adam seeking for their own things. But then he has spoken those precious words. Luke 2 verse 49. Wished ye not that I must be in my Father's business? Oh, he has walked as a holy one upon the earth. He has kept the law perfectly. Oh, when he was given to suffer and to die, then he is not withdrawn, no, as the willing servant of the Father. Oh, the Father was given to delight in the willingness of that servant, that he was given to finish the work. Oh, how the Father was given to delight in his servant when he is cried out, it is finished. Oh, is there a guilty people? Oh, are there servants and handmaidens? Ah, that it has become your desire to live according to his word, and that if it was possible, and that the Lord would never be grieved anymore. Ah, that you have set your face Zionwards, and that you have turned your back upon the city of destruction. Ah, that you have learned out of the depths to cry unto the Lord, and that you have made that good choice of a Ruth, and thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. And with everything that you have experienced, ah, that you have to write bitter things, and that you have to weep many tears, and that you are not a servant, a handmaiden, as you ought to be. Oh, you hoped that there would come a time that you would be a servant, and that the Lord would be given to delight, and that the Lord would have pleasure in you, and now to experience a great sinner still. Oh, then what a precious message. And then it is declared, ah, for poor and needy sinners, for servants that are unprofitable, servants that ruin everything by renewal. And then it is written in our text, behold my servant whom I uphold, in whom my soul delighteth. Oh, for the church, from that servant, and thereby they may receive the pardoning of all their sins, and thereby they may be restored into that blessed communion. Our third thought, the anointed servant, because then we read, I have put my spirit upon him. Those boys and girls, then you can hear clearly in our text words that we have the Father that is speaking, my servant that is the Son, and now we read, I have put my spirit upon him. We have heard, my servant whom I uphold, my elect. Was a difficult, an impossible work. To that end, the mediator had to be divine. If he was only human, he would have succumbed. But now I have put my spirit upon him. That speaks of the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have learned from Reverend Hellenbrook, and Reverend Hellenbrook in his question book, he has many Bible texts to prove his answer that that anointing, that consists in two parts. In the first place, and that is referred to when it speaks, mine elect, and Christ has been chosen, appointed to be the mediator between God and man. Thus, that is the first point. That means, boys and girls, that appointment, that is to be set apart, to be chosen for a certain task or a certain work. We have examples in the Bible of those that were anointed. Moses has anointed his brother Aaron to be high priest. Elijah has anointed Elisha to be a prophet that may follow in his footsteps. In 1 Samuel 16, a Samuel has come to Bethlehem to anoint one of the sons of Jesse, and that he would become king in Israel. That was David. Thus first, with that anointing, then David, then he was separated, and then he was set apart, that in due time, that he would become king over Israel. But then we can understand, children, when that has happened in the life of Samuel, David, that he had small thoughts of himself, and that he thought, that is now an impossible work for me. I can never do that. And to that end, it is necessary not only that appointment, but also that qualification. That means that the Lord would give the gifts to David, which he needed, that he may become king over all Israel. Then the Spirit of the Lord has come upon David. And now in our text words, then the prophet is given to speak of the servant of the Father, mine elect, set apart to be that mediator between God and man, that poor and needy sinners, lost sons and daughters of Adam, that they could be saved. But in our first point, we have said a few words. What an impossible task, what a heavy task that was. Oh, in our text words, then it is also declared the love of the Father, that he was willing to give a son, that he may become that servant to do the will of the Father, and that the church may be saved, that the attributes of God may be harmonized, that they may be glorified. Oh, that souls may be saved. And now we read, I have put my Spirit upon him. And thus he was anointed with the Holy Spirit. We read already when the angel Gabriel has come to Mary, that God-fearing Mary. And then we read that the power of the highest, the Holy Ghost, would come upon her. Oh, that anointing in a richer measure. We read in Matthew 3, the verses 16 and 17, with his baptism, where the Spirit has ascended in the likeness of a dove, and where Christ was anointed with wisdom, with holiness, wisdom, and with power for the great task that was set before him. Oh, of that anointing, then the prophet in the further chapters, and especially in Isaiah 61, verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to proclaim good tidings to the meek, to bind up the brokenhearted ones, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison door to those that are bound. Oh, to that end, in our text, it begins with, behold, oh, are there souls in my midst? When we speak of those brokenhearted ones, brokenhearted because of our sin, to speak of those meek ones that have been humbled under the Lord. Oh, those that are in captive, those that are in prison, and those that have learned with all their efforts that they cannot deliver themselves. But now, our text. Oh, may it be granted. May the prayers be multiplied, that there may be souls by the first time. Oh, to be given, that there may be a behold. Then we need light, then we need eyes to see, to be given to glance into that manger, and there to see the humble servant of the Father, the willing servant, the loving servant, that he was willing to come, that the chiefest of sinners may be saved. Let us first sing. A Psalter 109, the fourth stanza, the offering on the altar burned gives no delight to thee. The hearing ear, the willing heart, thou givest unto me. And what follows? Psalter 109, the four stanzas. Isaiah's prophecy of the servant of the Father. The upheld servant, the delighted in servant, the anointed servant, and now fourthly, the teaching servant. We have said, congregation, that the servant of the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, had an unfathomable and a very great work to do, because it was his calling, not only in the state of his humiliation as a servant, that he would merit salvation for his people, but that that salvation would also be applied. And now, sons and daughters by nature, then they are in prison. In Psalm 40, verse 2, I read of that horrible pit with that miry clay. That is our picture by nature, congregation. And that we are sinking deeper and deeper in that miry clay. Also, as we come closer to the end of another year, we are still in the precious day of grace. And now it was necessary, because Christ, let us add that there is much in our text, we cannot say everything, but we have learned from our youth that that anointing of Christ by the Holy Spirit without measure, that is to a threefold office, a prophet to teach, a priest to atone, to thank and to pray, and a king to reign. And now the children of Adam, then they are in captivity, and by nature, they do not see their danger, even in that miry clay, even though they are sinking deeper, they do not realize their danger, and by nature, and not a desire to get out. Thus, if you have someone that you try to deliver and they do not work along, that is difficult work. To give an example, children, let us say that some people have been taken prisoners by an enemy. And then the soldiers of our country, they are sent to deliver those prisoners out of prison. But those prisoners do not really want to come back. Then that is very hard work. And that is now the case. We have fallen so deeply, still a blessing, when there may still be work of the conscience. Oh, may there be much work of the conscience. As we come closer to the end of another year, that we may be given to consider our hearts what all has taken place and whether the Lord has begun or whether we have been taught by the Spirit. And that is now our forethought, the teaching servant, because we read, he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. That word judgment, that is two specific meanings in Scripture. In the first place, then it refers to the verdict of a judge in a court. Thus now the servant of the Father, by his teaching and through the Holy Spirit, then sons and daughters of Adam, then that verdict shall be brought home. that we are lying under the sentence of death. But that word also refers to the ordinances, the law, the laws which the Lord has given to the children of Israel in verse 4. There we read both those words. He shall not fail nor be discouraged until he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. And thus it speaks of the teaching servant. Oh, do we not read in Matthew 7, verse 29, at the end of the Sermon of the Mount, that he taught not as the scribes and Pharisees, but that he taught with power and with authority. Thus he shall bring that judgment, the law, and that is the moral ceremonial, so it also includes the gospel. That is the servant of the Father in his person, when he is tabernacled here upon the earth, the disciples, the apostles, his servants, that the word of God may be brought, and that it may be accompanied by the Holy Spirit, to show people their lost, their undone condition, their dangerous condition. Oh, with Jonathan Edwards, he has written in a sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Then he has compared an unconverted sinner to a spider that is hanging over fire by a silken thread. That is not so much, boys and girls. And each moment ready to fall into the fire. But now our text that says he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles was a special word of examination and uncovering to the Jewish people that undoubtedly that there were among that people when they have heard the message of the prophet Isaiah that the tears start to roll. Now the prophet is telling us we have had so many prophets who have come with judgment with the law, and we have stopped their ears. And now the prophet is telling that the servant that shall come in the fullness of time, that he shall go to the Gentiles. What a message that was for the Jews. When Christ declares, when the prophet declares judgment sent forth to the Gentiles, does not necessarily mean because Christ has commanded the disciples before he ascended into heaven that that gospel must be brought beginning at Jerusalem. But now when it says to the Gentiles, what an encouragement that is for a word, for a people, that by the further and deeper uncovering of the Holy Spirit that are afraid to place themselves among the people of God. Not that they have never received the hope, because when the Lord works, he grants that hope, and they find their life in God's word. But it can come so low and so in the depths that they come to the ends of the earth, that they are afraid that it can no more for them. Maybe sin too great, too long, against their conscience, given into temptation, abuse the long suffering of the Lord. They have wearied the Lord, that they are afraid that it is not for them. But then what a precious word we have in our text, that it shall be brought to the Gentiles, that is a people that is far from Jerusalem at the ends of the earth. Thus, What a hopeful message for the church. Then that people shall be taught, they shall be shown their lost condition. Dig deeper, Son of Man, and thou shalt find greater abomination that ever happened in our life, people. Have we now been taught? Have we now been instructed? Has there been a time in church that maybe we thought that the minister preached different? You have heard something that you thought, why was that not told us before? Or are we so busy in the world that we have to be diligent? Cost a lot to raise a family. But has this judgment and this teaching, has it now entered our ears, entered into our heart, and that we have learned that we are in prison, that we are lost, that we are in that horrible pit with that miry clay, sinking further and further away, and yet, on account of that love, that it has become our desire, oh, we have become so jealous. Can be especially when the Lord converts us when we are young, that we are in church, and that we are given to look at this child of God, close, tender life, and that we become so jealous that we would give everything. We may belong to that people, and then we make that choice. And then we tell the Lord that it is our desire to be His servant and His handmaiden, that the Lord may uphold us, that the Lord may keep us, that the Lord may help us, that we may not grieve the Lord. And now by that further teaching, to learn that we are a sinner still, with everything that has been experienced. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Then our text that speaks, behold, oh, what a message for poor sinners with such a heavily high debt that have tried so hard to pay their debt and where it has only become greater and where the Lord demands a perfect payment. Oh, then it may be declared, behold, my servant, my elect, whom I uphold, our last thought, the humble servant, he shall not cry nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. What are we to understand by the second verse? Because when we read, he shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street, we have heard that he was anointed to that office of prophet, to be teacher. And how he has preached, he has taught different circumstances. He has preached from the mountainside, preached from a ship, in a house, in the desert. Then he was given to teach the children of Israel when he was upon this earth. Oh, when we read, he shall not cry nor lift up, that refers to his humility, that he sought not his own honor, but that he sought the honor of his Father, whose servant he was. When we read the Gospels, how often he is given to speak of his Father, that he has come for the honor of his Father. Oh, he shall not cry nor lift up. Has he not said in Matthew 11, verse 29, meek and lowly of heart all concerning that second verse, then we could draw lines to the end of the life of the servant, because he was the suffering servant, suffering all his life long, but more so at the end of his life. And as the prophet also now declared in Isaiah 53 verse 7, that as a lamb he was dumb before his shears, as a sheep he opened not his mouth. Behold, my servant whom I uphold. What a precious gospel, congregation. Has he also become precious for you? And now it is the work of the servant, we have said it, to merit, but also to apply that salvation. And then after our text, because there are those souls, oh, it can become so impossible, afraid that it is not true, fears that it shall come to an end, and that the devil shall finally be able to say, I've told you so often that you are not a child. And now it has become manifest. And to that end, oh, behold my servant. Then the prophet has come so low to those little ones. Cannot see it, because we read in verse 3, a bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. The servant of the Father, he is that faithful servant. The prophet has also said in chapter 49, verse 16, that he has engraven that church, not written with a pen, boys and girls, we would say carved in his palms, the names of his church, and he has promised that he shall never forsake the work of his own hands. Behold, my servant, that faithful servant of the Father, he sitteth at the right hand of the Father. He careth and he watches over his people, and he shall return as the servant of the Father, because the Father has given judgment into his hands. And then he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. Amen. Let us close. A Lord, who was able to declare the riches of that blessed servant of the Father, who was so willing to assume our human nature, even to be born in a stable and laid in a manger as a helpless child. But he was upheld. He was that faithful servant for an unfaithful people. Ah, thy faithfulness changes not. And that is the wonder for thy church. Lord, may it please thee in this day to grant meditations and exercises concerning the servant of the Father, and by thy uncovering, by the first time, each time by renewal, oh, then for thy people, then he becomes so necessary and precious. The bride has declared that he was white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000s. Lord, wilt thou remember us in the furtherance of this day? Bring us under the means of grace by renewal in this afternoon hour. Wilt thou help the family circles with the children a grant of prayer for one another. Forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 424, the stanzas 1 and 2, sing. Sing a new song to Jehovah for all the wonders he has wrought. His right hand and his arm most holy, the victory to him have brought, and what follows. The consistory wishes to announce that, the Lord willing, the annual male members meeting has been scheduled for Wednesday, December the 23rd. Psalter 424, 1 and 2. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto you, thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.